Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yes, the boys are back in town. Shelter Footy Cast. It is Thursday morning. Welcome. And I tell you what, it's nice we record it this time because there's live breaking news as we go to air right now. Mark Reddings joins me. Hello, Skeeter.
Hello, Scoey. Yes, footy, and we say it never stops. Well, today, another big day, particularly for the Melbourne Football Club. And there's been an issue that's been in the news over the past few days, particularly regarding Joel Smith. But breaking news with regards to the retirement of Brayshaw. Angus, and that's really sad for him. Of course, his family, 28 years of age, all comes down to concussion and medical advice, which says for his best interest and his health moving forward, that he should retire from the game. So I'm sure that's real sobering news for Hamish, but also Angus, the whole group of Brayshaws who are going to sit back today and think, well, footy's pretty short, but life health-wise afterwards even more important.
Well, we saw on this podcast last year, Hamish Brayshaw was on the show and he was speaking about this specific incident with Braden Maynard. Now, the way it reads and looks, it's a stacked list of concussions that Angus has copped across his career. This is the tipping point for him. But Hamish sat on this podcast and was very critical of that incident.
I was with him on the day. I think that's right. You were away on that occasion. It was, look, he admits in hindsight there was a fair bit of emotion attached to the way he approached that response to the Maynard incident, and might have been, obviously you would if it's your brother, but at the end of the day, that incident, in part, not saying in totality, in part, that incident has now resulted in the retirement of a footballer.
Yeah, that's correct. So I think there was a lot of people quite critical of Hamish's take on this, but if you rewind the tape and you look at what he had to say about this, and it results in his brother retiring early from the game with multiple years left to run on a contract he signed, the AFL has changed the rule for an incident like this that people have been calling the Braden Maynard rule. I don't think you can say one word he said last year was incorrect. And at the time, people thought it was an overreaction. I think as we sit here today, Angus Brayshaw retires early from a career due to concussions, due to that incident. As the AFL changes the rule, I think Hamish Brayshaw on the Shelter Footy Cast hit the nail on the head. What happened that day, Braden Maynard should have been reported, should have been suspended, and he probably should have missed the grand final. So that's some big words from me, but that's Hamish's take at the start, end of last year, and I think he was probably spot on. We've got a few things to go through today, Skeeter, as we look here. We're Shelter Footy Cast live from our new Backchat studios here, the Southern River Band off the top there. They've just sold out a show in London, Callum
Tory?
Boys.
London.
Yeah, they've got a European tour coming up off the back of their success from the Shelter Footy Cast intro that we've been playing for the last couple of years. I'd say that's how they're selling those out.
From Thornley, is it Thornley?
That is correct.
To the Thames.
Yes, that is correct. You should be working on their marketing campaign, Skeeter. That's not bad for
you. I'll travel anytime you want me to go to London.
You could be a band boy.
Is that, hopefully that sounds a bit
No, I think you can rig up the speakers and you can make sure the microphones are working. How's it rotating a little bit into
mine's a move. Mine's just sure what's happening on the move. Mine might.
If there was someone wanted to maybe have a little look at that, Skeet's microphone keeps ending up in his chin.
It's drooping. Maybe it's been watching its owner.
Now, Skeeter, big news next Thursday.
Yes.
Down in Busselton, Will Schofield, me, Mark Reddings, you, live from Shelter Brewery.
Can't wait.
We are doing a live show. The Shelter Footy Cast will be live from Busselton. The show kicks off at 8 p.m. Bit of a late start because from 7 p.m., it's beers on you. Beers are on the house from Skeeter. Come down, buy a ticket, show your ticket. Skeeter will buy your beer.
Will I now? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I've never been in that position of power.
Well, do you buy people beers when you're out?
Yeah, I do. But, for strangers to come up and say, mate, Let's go.
Good. So make sure you get down to Shelter Brewing down in Busselton.
Long weekend, of course.
Long weekend. That's exactly right. Skeeter will buy you a beer from 7 p.m. Big prizes this year on the show, Skeet. There'll be some prizes down there. We've got slabs of beer to give away. We've got merch to give away. We've got back chat stuff. We've got Shelter stuff. So come down to that. But on this show, weekly during the year, we are giving away every away trip to West Coast Eagles. We have two tickets to the game plus two airfares every second week here on the Shelter Footycast.
And given the price of airline tickets in 2024, that's worth, I've got to say, that's worth, what, a couple of grand?
So one, could be 10 grand. I don't know. I haven't done the sums yet, Skeeter. But one lucky listener will be taking home a double pass. That's two airfares, return airfares, two tickets. Sort your own accommodation. Take a 10 over there if you like. To every away game for the West Coast Eagles this year. That's pretty big for this.
That's brilliant.
That's thanks to TASA.
Just up
Travel
the road.
Travel and Sports Australia.
Travel and Sport Australia. Paul Ramsey and the team. Yes. Terrell, who actually runs the show.
Yes, correct.
Rammer just fronts it. But that is great. Correct. Good to have them on board because they do these. They've been doing the chartered flights for the West Coast Eagles for a couple of years now.
So you the two tickets, I might add, you're on the plane with the team.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I should have said that. You're on the team plane.
Yes.
Sitting with the players. Live interactions, you can speak to the boys. I've been on those planes numerous times. It's always good to have a bit of a chat with people on there. So you'll be on the team with the players, flying with the team, see how they go about it, to the game. I don't know if we can offer much better here on the show.
That's a very good prize. And a weekly prize we're giving, is that right?
Well, it's the away trip.
So fortnightly prize.
I'm just hunting a Freo prize as well. So stay tuned, Freo fans. There'll be something for you on every other second week as well. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. So Angus Brayshaw retires this morning. That's, I would say, look, devastating is the wrong word, but like it's really disappointing to see a player having to retire from a concussion. Brad Shepherd, Daniel Venables, two of my teammates in the same situation. Do you think we'll see more of that happening?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's because the testing's becoming far more thorough, and I think at the end of the day, players are more aware of what their body could end up like in 20, 30, 40 years. So I have no doubts that the players, Collingwood defender in the grand final last year.
Nathan Murphy.
He's been ticked off to play this year. And your response there sums up my response. He's got a history as well. So
you and I are not head experts, right? Concussion experts. But from the eye, when you start to see guys, so McCartan last year, when you start to see guys completely knocked out and having head issues from not big hits.
Innocuous.
Yeah, from hits that don't look big. And that's having played the game, and you've certainly been in physical sports as well. Any hit to the head's not a good thing. But you know the difference between a massive shirt front and someone's copped a shoulder to the face and a glancing blow. When you start seeing these glancing blows fell these players, I would say from a non-expert point of view, that's a serious issue. Clearly that's where Angus found him, because Angus came back and started training with the team only a few weeks ago.
And they said last weekend he was unavailable to play against Richmond because of the flu. That may well be the case. But you have to surmise that he's gone through some training and still had either severe or effects that he had to go back and refer to the doctor, which is, it's brave from him as well, because he's got a contract which I think, would have been $700,000-$800,000, whatever he's on. He's on decent money.
Absolutely.
And one of the real key pillars at Melbourne who are going through some issues we'll talk about shortly. But for him, with the assistance of doctors or through the direction of doctors, to have to make this decision, there's an element of courage in it as well, because he could say, no, I'm feeling fine, I'm
good. It's his job.
Yeah, it's his job. It's his livelihood. It's his life in many respects outside of his family.
Continues on with Melbourne, and that's an on-field issue, but off-field issues, Joel Smith has been accused of, under the SIA, which falls under WADA, it's a World Doping Code, not only of his positive test that he received last year in 2023, but they've doubled down on this over the weekend. Under the code, he's been charged with trafficking drugs, and he's also been charged with possessing illicit drugs. And when it talks about illicit drugs, this is under the performance-enhancing drug code. This isn't the illicit drug code that the AFL also sits under. So there's some technicalities that I think maybe some people aren't understanding. There's two codes in the AFL. There's the WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Code, that on match day you cannot test positive to illicit drugs, cocaine, marijuana, all the rest of them. You're up for a four-year ban in that case, and that's what he's already been charged with. Under that same code, it sounds like they've taken his phone, gone through his phone, and you can be charged with trafficking. So under that code, trafficking is defined as selling, giving, transporting, sending, delivering, or distributing a prohibited substance by an athlete to any third party. So he's not Pablo Escobar when you hear the word trafficking and shipping in crates of cocaine. This has been something that's been found on his phone, allegedly, and he's been brought under that. Interestingly, that was from 12 months prior to his game day test. So on the 9th September 2022, he's been charged with possession of cocaine on that date and trafficking around that time as well. It's
a massive... That's career ending if all those allegations come to pass. The interesting one, again, going outside of our... Travis Kelce, who's just arrived, by the way, in Sydney to catch up with Tay-Tay. This is not my area of expertise.
It doesn't
know your role and shut your mouth.
And trust me, we'll get some more audio during the course of the year because of him seeing Viva Las Vegas at the Super Bowl. But anyway, that's a different story.
He may actually be dating Tay-Tay because of our coverage of his. Do you think that could be the case?
Oh, who knows? We're just going from new offices, people to Melbourne for Eagles trips. I was talking about the trafficking on a serious note. The question for my mind is, if that can be a charge laid by Sport Integrity or those officials, do police then become involved if it's a trafficking allegation? So there's that side of it. And in brief, I just want to say, because I know we've got to push on, but what I think is that whatever's happening here now at Melbourne gives total 100% vindication. And I said it a couple of days ago on radio and yesterday on radio, to Glenn Bartlett's concerns going back a few years ago. Now, this could be an isolated incident.
That were the words of Simon Goodwin, I believe.
What's that?
Isolated incident.
Well, it could be an isolated incident. But by the same token, when Glenn Bartlett, your chairman, going back to a premiership year or just before that, had concerns about the behaviour of the coach, the players, and wanted that investigated, then he gets shuffled out the door in unceremonious circumstances. I think Glenn Bartlett now, not that he'd be happy with these findings or this charge, would sit back and say, well, this is the sort of behaviour that he was talking about. So,
We've got Western Australian listeners, clearly. I was drafted at the end of 2006 to the West Coast Eagles. There was a massive investigation by the AFL into drug culture. I've said this, I get asked about this all the time, where as a player, did you see that drug culture? It's a big no from me. As a 17-year-old kid came into that club. But what it did do was it shifted the focus from football to off the field. So West Coast Eagles 2006 win a premiership. Within 4 years, they won a wooden spoon, 2010. You look at this club here, the Melbourne Demons. I'm not saying it's the same culture, but certainly there's parallels. There's been noise about Simon Goodwin. Clayton Oliver, their best player. Lots of noise. This is not noise anymore, Joel Smith. He has been charged with cocaine in his system on game day and then trafficking and possession. Like there is more than noise at Melbourne. And I can tell you right now, as a player, there was no drug culture that I ever saw. But what it did, the investigation, it turned that football club into a poor-performing footy club. And I think staying out of the off-field stuff, because we don't know what's going on there really, I think it's going to bode poorly for their performance on the field. You can't survive this sort of culture stuff that will get a lot of legs. Right now, the AFL and Melbourne Footy Club are saying they can't investigate it because it's an SIA problem, which is Sports Integrity Australia. They will cop performance issues off the back of this. There's no doubt in my mind because I've experienced that.
And you're talking about 2006. Now, time goes pretty quickly. That's almost two decades ago. So you talk about footy clubs learning and a lot of criticism of the Eagles back then, and rightfully so, about trying to control the club, which was spiraling in many people's eyes because of the behaviour of, not the majority, I would suspect, but a portion of the playing group, I think that's fair to say,
yep,
that weren't certainly living the values that, you know, most of us in society do, but we know it's a societal problem, the drug issue.
Well, that's the point, Skeeter, the societal issue. I think anyone that's sitting there and thinking that every AFL club, there aren't blokes using drugs, I think we'd absolutely be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that was happening. Because
was it Bob Murphy? Someone came out and said that.
Nick Riewoldt.
Nick Riewoldt. There have been others who've come out over the journey and said every club, there'd be players.
It was Nick Riewoldt. It was his first day on SEN. Remember it distinctly. Okay. And he wanted to have a big shot at it. But I think he's right. I think that's the way society is. And if you've got a cross section of the community within a football club, you've got 17 to 35-year-olds that are high risk takers. That's what makes them good at football. I think you'd be kidding yourself to not think that it's an issue in the AFL. You're kidding yourself to not think it's an issue in society. This doesn't surprise me. I'll tell you that.
Well, Gary Peart has publicly last October said that Melbourne's culture is as good as any football club, and he said in the 40 years that he's been involved. So,
well,
it was a huge statement. I understand footy clubs trying to defend what they know, and at the time he may not have been across some of the behavioural issues. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to sweep
it. That looks like a silly statement, doesn't it?
In hindsight, it does. Yeah. I mean, Glenn Bartlett, who absolutely got stitched by the Melbourne Football Club, in my opinion, and came out with a lot of truths, and he got shuffled by the AFL. There was a lot of people that made life very hard for Glenn Bartlett when he was trying to, honesty from the outside, trying to clean the place up.
Has anyone spoken to Glenn? I'd like to hear from him.
Oh, I've spoken to him numerous times.
No, I'd like to hear from him right now. I'd love to have a chat.
And I've spoken to him over a beer. But he's an old Trinity boy. Obviously, he played for the Eagles going back in time. And
yes,
he speaks openly and honestly about, and look, for what he went through personally and his partner Vicky, I think it is, really damaged not only reputationally, but also emotionally when you accused or pushed out of a role you were trying to do to the best of your ability to improve a club. Now, Melbourne, going to 2024, I don't think you pick a more destabilising period 3 weeks out from a season.
I think there will be an element of galvanising. So I don't think...
An element?
I don't think they win the wooden spoon this year, right? So don't take that word from me. But I think there'll be an element of galvanising within that football club, us against them. I think that...
but how can it be us against them? I mean...
The attitude was already like that, though. Well, it's because... Well,
because you've been... A player's been charged. Yeah, how's that us against them?
Absolutely, because...
Who's them?
Everyone. The media, the public. When you're in that situation, it feels like the world's against you. And I know that's not correct, but within that footy club, that's how those players will feel. That's how the playing group will feel. They'll say... Everyone else can get stuffed. Joel's one of ours. They're attacking him, whether he's right or wrong. Clayton's one of ours. He's right or wrong. He's one of ours. So I'm good when they're attacking. It feels like the world's coming in on you. And I've heard that's what they are like. Angus Brayshaw retires. Totally different issue. But that they will have a period where they probably overperform. But the crash is coming.
I totally agree.
Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. So Melbourne dominated what's going on around the AFL. Let's have a little look at the West Coast Eagles and the Freo Dockers. They're playing in a scratch match this weekend. A couple of legends calling it as well, Skeeter. They've called out the big guns.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, I'll tell you why. Because I think Adam Papalia...
he's gone the wrestling.
All the other experts are probably just...
Pav's on his, on a private yacht somewhere.
Doing something to the Trevor's... It's probably Tay-Tay's concert. No, we're going to be at Mineral Resources Park. 5,000 people will be there. And I've got to say... Generally, you go to a footy game and think pre-season, but because of, obviously, Harley Reid, because of Fremantle and what we're looking forward to seeing from... I'm looking forward to it.
People are starved of footy.
Full stop. That's why yesterday... I was watching Collingwood North Melbourne. It's a work day in Melbourne. It's 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And there's about... The banks are full of their training facilities. Oh, mate, it was an amazing crowd. So
Sheasel had 42 touches in that one.
For North Ball?
Yeah, Larky kick 5.
North Ball? You heard of North Ball?
Please tell me about it.
Well, Bazball with the English cricket, it's been dubbed the way they played yesterday. I only saw glimpses.
Free for all.
Keep attack.
All out attack.
Go attack, baby.
I have been wondering what Clarko's going to do at North Melbourne because he's a great coach. We can't deny it. And he spent some time away from the footy club last year. So I don't think we got to see his plan.
Yep.
And I've been thinking with the list, he will know he doesn't have a good list. They don't have a good list.
Good young talent. They've got good young talent. Yeah.
But they don't have the depth. They don't have the star players yet. He's not going to just sit around for 12 months and twiddle his fingers. He'll be trying to win.
Innovate.
And it's like, how do you do it? So that's how they're doing it. Just rolling the dice. Let's go. That's what Collingwood does.
Yeah.
But they're very good at it. That's why they win. Eagles, Dockers, we're going to get our first real glimpse. We've seen some scratch matches between intra-club, but as a player, when you see a different coloured jumper, you can go to another level. They won't be a gear six right now. They're not 100%. But you're above what you are in match sim. Like, this is a different type of intensity, and they'll all be looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see how Harley Reid goes against a different side. I've seen him against his own teammates. He's good. He's very good, Skate. Is he good enough to be on the back page every week, every day?
Probably not.
He could actually be.
Really?
He could actually be. Mate, he's a very good player.
I'm just trying to think. The hype for him, and we'll obviously get a chance to speak about it. I go back to Ben Cousins when he came into the system. Obviously, his dad, Brian, very good player. But Ben had a fair bit of hype surrounding him.
Juddy.
Chris Judd was the next in line. Not a number one draft pick, but, you know, in that Hodge Ball draft. You know, really supposed to, you know, a gun with the dodgy shoulders, but yeah, clearly a superstar in making.
What about Fremantle side of things?
And just quick, Nick Nat was the next one. But I think this kid is just maybe because of social media and the coverage is next level.
Who's Freo's most hyped player of the last 20 years? Well, is it Pav? Luke Jackson's a number one draft?
No, I think Pav, I'm just trying to think in order. Pav was the big forward that came across
I know Fife turned himself into a player, but like he was a 70-kilo.
He was certainly didn't have the hype that is associated with what we're seeing with Reid. So you're right, Luke Jackson in more recent times, but he was an established player,
sort of,
at Melbourne. Well, premiership player, but he's been the system. So yeah, I think you're right. Fremantle probably doesn't have that history of the big names, but you know, end of the day, they've got their own journey they're taking, and it starts this morning with their season launch.
That is exactly right. They are doing that right now. I think, look, I almost hate about what I'm about to say. I think West Coast have got massive injury issues. That Clay Hall, he's done his ankle. Jeremy McGovern.
Will Clay Hall play in round one? Probably not.
Probably not. Well, I think he was in
the cusp.
Maybe he was best on ground on two of them matched him. So I think he was sort of the next midfielder in.
Sure.
He's not doing that anymore. He's 4 weeks out of the game. Jeremy McGovern, I don't believe he's playing for a couple of weeks. The club's saying that he is a decision this weekend. I'll have egg on my face when he runs out there, no doubt, but I don't think he's playing.
No.
Harry Edwards has broken his finger. That can be troublesome. You can't handle balls, so he's the backup key defender. Had a really good preseason. Jermaine Jones looks likely this weekend, but he's been injured. We know Tim Kelly was injured, had a hamstring. Playing now, but there was issues there. Jack Darling has had a few weeks off with a hammy. He looks okay to play Adelaide again next weekend, but again, older player, hamstring. Elijah Hewitt, we've seen him. Dom Sheed has just started running. Liam Ryan has just started running. Josh Rotham's been out with a groin. That's a lot of injuries, Skeeter. We're 2 weeks out from this round zero.
Yeah, and maybe, look, we hear and we see the Eagles' injuries up close, but I mean, there are other clubs going through similar. Hawthorn, I think, would be in the same
Hawthorn's
bracket.
Very much in the same.
Yeah, they're in a really tough spot. I'm sure there are clubs that are probably maybe not that deep in a hole in injury-wise, but I think Eagles supporters are going, you know, what do we hope out of Saturday? No injuries. See, a bit of Harley Reid, but no injuries is probably the number one priority.
And, yeah, look, I hope they sort it out by round zero. I'm just saying that's not the position you want your list in.
No.
We've heard Adam Simpson, quote unquote, say we've got more injuries this time this year than we did last year. They think they're more durable. They think they've traded the physicality and the contact stuff. Excuse me. The physicality and the contact stuff more this preseason. So they think they're more durable. But they know they're more injured, so they're hoping that they're able to bounce back quicker from those.
Gee, I'll tell you what, and I'm only looking forecasting ahead, but jumping on a plane, going to take on Port Adelaide, a team that is a bit like Melbourne, fell short in the final. I'm hoping from an Eagles perspective that they don't cop an absolute pasting in round one. That's my fear against a team that is... obviously, less preparation because they played finals. But, yeah, I've just hope things don't get ugly early.
Just to finish on Fremantle, I think they've gone under the radar again this preseason. I said they'd make finals last year. I think I said they'd make top two. I won't be doing any outlandish things like that, Skeeter. Can confirm to you, before the next show,
yep,
I will have run naked around Optus Stadium.
So by next Monday?
That's correct.
So
I've made a guarantee.
It's not
going
to be Saturday night, we know that.
Was it?
Well, because unless you want to do it in front of 30,000 people at the wrestling.
is that where it is? Skeeter.
I'm pretty sure.
I can't confirm or deny if it'll be Saturday night.
Well, okay.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, a lot of...
Been doing a bit of work with the WWE, actually. Maybe I'm making...
You are, actually. Yeah, I might have been the conduit for that.
Thank you, Skeeter. I think Freo have gone severely under the radar. We haven't seen many injuries. Heath Chapman springs to mind. Disappointingly out with the hamstring. They don't have...
Brendan Cox, watch and act with him. Swiatkowski, I think, will be right for round one.
Good.
Which is good news. I'm getting more and more bullish, and that's only on the basis of one bloke. But if Luke Jackson playing forward... I just put their names on paper the other day. You know, Jackson... Amos. Tracy.
That's a dangerous forward line.
It's a big forward line. But Amos is very, very mobile, should I say. Yeah. So I think whereas Tracy and Jackson, obviously, agile for his side. Just those small forwards. Schultz gone. Can Switkowski jump up? Can Cooper Simpson take a role? Does Michael Fredericks become a real factor? So they've got the bones there.
We are going to give a full West Coast and Fremantle preview live at Shelter Busselton, Skeeter. So don't spend all your tickets, mate. Just keep some of those golden nuggets to yourself, because you've got to get down to Shelter down in Busso next Thursday. You can grab tickets in our Instagram bio, Shelter Footycast on Instagram, or jump on the Shelter Brewing website. You can grab tickets there. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. Skeeter, got a little bit of previewing to do. So we're getting close to around zero, ground zero, as I like to say. Sorry.
He's laughing his own jokes, boys.
I did that just for you, Skeeter. We're going to preview eight of the first teams, leaving out Freo because we've got this saved for our big show down at Busso. Just want to go through the teams and have a little preview, a bit of a look at their season ahead. We're going to keep it short, okay? Because we've got to get through eight, okay? Understood? I'm going to give you the biggest in, the biggest out from the preseason in terms of players, and we're going to go through strengths and weaknesses of each side. Adelaide, biggest in, Dan Curtin, would you believe, I think is their biggest in. I think he's got the potential to play round one. I think he can make an impact into that side. They didn't do a lot free agency. They lost Tom Duday. I think that's their biggest out, but he's coming off an ACL. So if you look at their list, they're pretty much the same team as they were last year. And they were on the up towards the back end, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm bullish about them. And I think Isaac Rankin is a player that possibly from a small forward with a lot of tricks could even find himself more inside the centre square.
I think they've got a completely stacked forward line. That's their strength. They're a dangerous side. Taylor Walker will hold that together for a little bit. But Darcy Fogarty is the heir apparent there.
Like the man with the tree trunk thighs.
Yeah, he will. I think he'll step up and take the mantle from a Tex Walker this year coming.
Just quickly, Riley Thulthorpe, every time I see him, I wonder why he hasn't been...
Nah, good player.
He's a good player, but he hasn't played as much as what I'd like to see. Anyway, he can be something really special.
It's their weakness. I think probably their weakness is their youth, and that's not sometimes a weakness, but I think they're inexperienced. They haven't played finals for
a long time.
Decent time. That's the weakness. But you only break that by becoming better and playing finals, right? So I'm with you. I think they'll be a good side this year. Not great, but they'll be improving. I think they'll move up from where they finished last year.
And very tough to beat at the Adelaide Oval.
They finished outside the finals because of that Sydney bullshit, right?
Absolutely. And they've lost some matches they should have won. They are, I think, not a bullet. They are on the way up.
Brisbane Lions, back of the grand final loss. Biggest in? Tom Duday. Tom Duday comes in from Adelaide. Biggest out, I think, Jack Gunston. I think he played in the grand final. He's going to go and play at Hawthorn, play a role, senior leader. I think that's a decent loss. I know that he didn't play all last year. He and Daniel Rich famously dropped themselves from the side halfway there.
And never got back.
Well I think Richie Jack did, but Richie's... as I said at the time, mate, you'll miss out on a grand final. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, Jack Gunston, their biggest out, I think. Can Brisbane... get that 1% better and win a grand final, or will they try to get 10% better, 20% better, which we did in 2015, and you fall off the tracks?
No guarantees. That's the thing. But I think when you look at the side they've got and the advantage of playing in Brisbane, what, the 10, 11 times, you're pretty much – and a side that I think there is room for a little bit of improvement. I think they can. Ashcroft comes back into their mix probably mid-season. Like
eight rounds in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, I still see Brisbane being a contender, and they've showed they could play on grand final day. At the G, I've got high hopes, and Doudé does give them – they looked a bit vulnerable at times down back. Harris Andrews just magnificent.
He was outstanding in the grand final.
Absolutely. But I don't think Doudé's arrival, he'd be saying, this is fantastic. Just another player to take out a tall forward from the opposition. Pretty handy.
Bit of a watch and act this year on Kitty Coleman. I think he could be an absolute superstar this year. He was their best player on the day in the grand final, biggest stage, MCG.
Clubs will put a bit more work into him, though, won't they?
That's the caveat, isn't it? Yeah. Do they realise he's their ball user, he's their line breaker? They know that that's him. I just think he could be anything, as could Cam Rayner. I think Cam Rayner, big year, more midfield time, more fitness. What do we think is going to happen? Can they win the grand final? Yes. Will they? Don't know. Carlton, let's go. Their biggest in Orazio Fantasia.
Wow.
Did you know he's at Carlton?
Yeah, I did. Oh, hang on. Yes, I do know. But
I looked this up, I didn't.
I was actually questioning whether Orazio, who hasn't played, well, You've played more footy in the last 5 years than he has.
Yes.
Whether someone like Zach Williams is a bigger in.
Skeeter.
In the sense of coming back from outside the playing group because
of
injury.
I like that a lot.
If he's right to go, I think he can provide as much value as Orazio. Just on the pure virtue of Orazio, he's going to be injured for half the year.
You know, it's not very often that I do this, but I think you might be right, Skeeter.
You'll have one a show, aren't I?
Paddy Dow, biggest out. Look, Paddy's high draft pick. He's come to that football club. He's still can't get a game. He's out the door again. So, I don't know if that's a big out for them, to be honest. Sam Walsh, he's going to be a big dictator.
Well, he's missing the pre-season matches.
Correct.
He's had a few
he's been injured.
He's been injured absolutely a lot in his short career.
He absolutely has. He's missed a lot through injury.
But their midfield, in a nutshell,
that's their strength.
Looks great. Looks terrific. Their forward line, we know, well, given what the big boys can do, and if Harry Mackay can get his goal-kicking technique sorted, there's not too many weaknesses.
No
Wiedering's obviously out for the start of the season.
That's their weakness, I think. Their back line. But if you win clearances and you win the midfield battle, then hopefully you can have a weaker back line and succeed. Like what they were able to do last year, they had midfielders that stepped up around Paddy Cripps. It's always been the Paddy Cripps show, but we saw a Walsh, we saw a Chera. These sorts of guys, a Hewitt from Sydney. That's a big addition, Hewitt, last couple of years. But yeah, I think they can really come up and about. If we say a player at point, what's that?
No, I was going to say the big issue for Carlton, the weight of expectation, and that can stop trains.
Harry Mackay, can he? I don't know, get back. Well, yeah, get back. He's a Coleman medalist. But last year, it was almost dropped. He was definitely injured. People saying he shouldn't be in the team because he couldn't kick for goal. He would have had a big preseason in front of the big sticks, I reckon. I reckon he spent...
Do you reckon he spent more time in front of the goals or on the couch chatting to a counsellor to say, look, a lot of it was mental.
Yeah, but you build mental strength by practicing something.
Yeah, probably right. Yeah.
So I can only speak of players that were great in front of the goals, and that was a Jamie Cripps for mine and a Josh Kennedy. They would kick 100 set shots a training session. When I'm inside playing PlayStation, thinking about playing on my forward, they were out the front kicking goals.
Yeah.
So
from every angle.
You don't build mental resilience by thinking about it, to be honest, mate. Like you build it by doing it, and if you do it over and over enough, you figure out what you're doing wrong and you get it right. Like, that's how you do it.
So what chance in round zero do we see Harry Mackay 25 metres out directly in front?
It's going to be on.
Kick around his body.
Yeah, correct. It's going to be pressures. It's going to be on straight away. Because him and Charlie Curnow are doing the same thing. So, look, I think Carlton overall, I think big expectation. Can they live up to it? There's certainly going to be pressure. Huge fan base. It's going to be great to watch. I think it's going to be great to watch to see if Carlton can actually meet those expectations because they
haven't. Exciting because they're a big club and they've been around the mark for a long time.
Collingwood, biggest in, Lachie Schultz from over here in the West. He goes home to Victoria. I think that's a massive inclusion for them. Putting a good pressure player into that system, I think he's going to have a massive year. I think he could kick 30, 40 goals. Like on the end of that midfield, that back line, that that he's a hard runner. He's hard to match up on. He puts extreme pressure. Like, he could just go off his head this year, Lachie Schultz, I reckon. Do you agree?
Oh, no. It's all a question. You talk about the expectation. Collingwood, there's no reason why they should dip, but history shows premiers do dip for whatever reason. You've been to the top of the summit. The appetite is full. But their list still looks pretty sound to me. I don't see too many weaknesses.
Biggest outs are Grundy and Adams to Sydney.
Yeah, they're...
Grundy was from Melbourne, so he wasn't even from
Adams. Adams is the one, didn't make the grand finals, and will be at the hamstring. If he'd been fit, would he have played? I think so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a strange one. I agree. Adams is the big out for them. But they played North yesterday without nine of their premiership players. They do everything well at the moment. So
does Nick Daicos win the Brownlow next year?
Well, this year, he's absolutely in the frame. I'm interested about their forward line. Seriously, who's their key forward? No Dan McStay.
Yes,
they're a small sort of agile. Ash Johnson, does he step up?
Yeah,
they find ways, so there's no issues there.
Wycheck's been their so guy, reliable. Really. Yeah. But like so look, I don't know if that's an issue for them.
No, you're right. They find ways to. Get Bobby Hill to bob up on grand final
day. Lachie Schultz will kick an absolute stack of goals this year. I have no doubt about it. It's going to be a great forward line to watch. Finlay McRae, probably their breakout player this year to watch. Draftee, brother of, I believe, Western Bulldogs.
Yes.
Is that right?
Jack
McRae, brother of.
And for what it's worth,
I don't have no idea.
Hoyts. There's a doco that's going to be released pretty soon. Hoyts Cinemas. Putting this out, I think it's called the Take the Steps. So it's a Collingwood documentary of the final series last year. Now, I know you like me. You like watching docos of sporting stories. This is coming out. I think it's called Take the Steps. I stand corrected, but it's about Collingwood's finals campaign, which had a fair bit of drama attached to it, whether it was the Melbourne victory, the Maynard incident, the tight win over the Giants. So just if you love your footy, keep your eye out for that.
I'll tell you. One thing, we filmed all of 2018. I know the guys at the media team. We butchered that release. We had such good footage. It should have been the best doco in the world made on that 2018 grand final. West Coast butchered it. There's an inside word for you.
Has it gone? Is this one that's been put out a year or two ago?
Yeah, but it was like they just butchered every element of it. Anyway, I'll talk about that all day.
Well, so hey, just quick, why did you film 2018 as opposed to, say, 2017? Just in brief. So that would have been it.
I think... Mate, I don't know, but like they fully filmed it. They were there every step of the way.
Mate, that would have been...
It was released. There was a thing, but it was
just... it done with UWA or Curtin?
Yeah,
the universities?
I think so. I just don't think they quite nailed the putting out of it. Essendon, Skeeter. these are guys that are trying to be the big movers this year. Ben McKay comes to the club. Gresham, I think he's a good player as well. He comes to the club, so big ins. And they don't really have many outs, which is a good thing for them. Zerk Thatcher's on his way to Port Adelaide, but he was a sort of,
Toddy Goldstein comes across.
Todd Goldstein, he'll fill a role while big...
Draper.
Sammy Draper. Sam Draper?
Sam Draper.
So who was the tennis player? Someone Draper? Scott Draper. Was he a golfer?
No, I think
tennis player.
Definitely played tennis, yeah.
I think one time I called Sam Scott to his face. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
I think he might have been on Fox Footy live on TV. He'll be a stop fill for Sam Draper until he comes back. They won't play Todd Goldstein all year.
No, I'm just thinking names you're putting out there. And, of course, Jake Stringer, who even the coach...
Point Brad to prove.
Brad Scott has said, look, you can't just flit in and just wander in and out of matches. He wants a bit...
He's been doing that his entire career.
I know. He's talking about change.
He feels like a player... I've played with guys like this, that if you accept that that's what they are, he is not going to have four consistent quarters. He's not. Like, I think we've proven that.
But he might have 15 minutes of brilliance.
Correct. So just, I hope internally, we don't see it externally, I hope internally they accept that they're just going to get an inconsistent performance from the package in Jake Stringer, because that's all you need.
Mm.
If he comes, bobs up and kicks two or three goals in a quarter... job done.
Mm.
Like, you don't need him to have 30 touches. You don't need him running through the midfield. He's clearly not fit enough. He's not consistent enough with how he prepares his body. Like, I don't think that's outrageous to say, but that's okay. Not everyone needs to be Matt Prittis. Not everyone needs to prepare yourself within an inch of your life. You're going to have different blokes on footy teams. I hope they're, again, use of a better word, I hope they love him at the club. I hope they get around him, because he could be a huge... package
in a good side. He adds that You're always worried about him if you're an opposition team.
Mate, you could play him for 115 minutes and 5 minutes job. And then see you later if you had four goals kicked on you. I reckon it's happened exactly to that player on me. I've seen it real life. Essendon, I don't know if they'll be good until they're good, mate.
Matthew Lloyd, I think, said they'll tear the walls down to the hangar if they don't play finals. Well,
I don't think they're playing finals.
But I think they're one of five, six clubs.
Why would they play finals?
I think they're one of five or six clubs that could legitimately say, you know, if you win half your games, you're a chance to play finals, aren't you?
Okay. So they're saying that about 18 teams.
Well, possibly. Well, there's probably 15.
Well, if you win half your games, you're gonna win.
Yeah, but I think Essendon. It's more their impatience than waiting for so long for something to happen.
I'm just going off to the Himalayas for the altitude camps. It's not going to get you victories. You need to rock up game day, play your role, have great culture, get around each other. I did hear from a little mouse, and it wasn't the mouse, a little mouse who had been down at training with them. He said the biggest difference he'd noticed between a Collingwood training and an Essendon training wasn't the skill level, wasn't the attack on the ball, wasn't the voice. It was the enthusiasm of the teams when something good happened. At Collingwood, a defender did a spoil, someone manned the mark properly, someone gave a clean hands. People would come from everywhere to get around players, lay a good tackle, chase down, all that stuff. Essendon, nothing, apparently, nothing. Good thing happened, everyone's too tired to get around them. That's the biggest difference. And I can tell you firsthand again, that's what happens in good sides. You have the energy to get around your teammates. I don't know if Essendon can do that just yet. Okay. Geelong, biggest in. Come on now, boys. Sean Manor.
Who?
Sean Manor. I believe he's a draftee. It's not spelled anywhere near correctly. Asava Radigalia, biggest out.
Clearly.
He's off the road down to Port Adelaide. Where's Geelong?
Well, you had him winning back-to-back last year.
Okay. Thanks, Skater.
I'm almost prepared to say I'll do the naked lap of Optus if they win the flag this year. They're just not, mate. Please.
Say it properly. Not say almost. Say it.
What? I will run naked around Optus Stadium if Geelong wins the flag this year.
Fantastic. Someone get a team into Geelong and just turn this side into their world beaters they once were. Jeez, that would be ripping. Look, I'm with you, mate. I'll do it with you. I think that's dangerous from both of us, though, because this is a well-coached side.
Yes. No, they've been a great side for a long time.
They have a home ground advantage like no other.
True.
I think they'll have enough young players coming through that they won't be the worst side in the AFL. Do they have the quality to match it with a Collingwood, a Brisbane, those sorts of teams? Maybe not. I think they'll find their way to win close to half their games.
Yeah, I think they're one of those five or six teams that can easily play finals. I mean, you've got too much quality there. When you think Tom Stewart, Patrick Dangerfield, Tom Hawkins, albeit
Jeremy Cameron,
albeit those types of guys, you don't really want them injured for
portions
of the year.
If you came into an elimination final in 2024,
nervous if you're playing them,
and you're a backman and you're looking down the barrel of Tyson Stengel, plays it, doesn't he? He was all Australian 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Tom Hawkins, Jeremy Cameron, I don't reckon you're that comfortable coming into
Max
that
Holmes
game.
A good young player.
Yeah, correct. So, look, I don't think they're that bad.
No. I half said that in jest, but I just don't think they have got...
You said it in jest, but you'll be running naked around office now with the flag, mate.
I'll have to wear that.
Okay.
I have to go and get a wax or two. Yeah. So,
that'll be even better footage, seeing Skeeter getting a wax. Gold Coast, this is the team that everyone's got their eyes on this year, I think. They've got their new coach. They've got the core group of young talent that they've continued to try to build over the last 20 years, but it feels like they have something there. They have a good Max King in front of the footy. They have a good midfield, Tuke Miller and co in the guts. They have a good back line led by Sam Collins. They have a team. They have a coach. They have a little bit of hype. I think they could be half decent this year.
Oh, let's hope so. And I'm not sure who you've got as the biggest in, but I suspect in many ways it is the coach, Damien Hardwick.
Mubby or Chawl out the door. I think that's the biggest out. The biggest in was through their academy pick at pick 3, Jed Walter. Apparently he's a very good player.
Super player, yeah. But you mentioned Mubby or Chawl. Interesting, I think he was at Richmond when Dimmer was at the Tigers and didn't last there. He shuffled him off to the Gold Coast. He gets the, as soon as
I know who pulled the trigger.
As soon as Harwick gets appointed, Marby must have gone. Okay, well, my time.
Jolie's on the phone.
He's his manager. I'm gone. Yeah. I'm reading the play.
Yeah, fair enough. I think they'll play finals this year. They could play finals this year. Yeah.
Okay, you've got them in your eight. But that's
it's in that group, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if they are in my eight. Have you done your eight? Have you
no,
done it?
No, I don't.
We will do that on the footy car. I think we leave ourselves as much time as possible and get as much information as possible, because I think with the way you're looking at me and the nodding your head, you have as much of an idea as me.
None. Zero. You reckon I spent time over summer doing a top eight? I mean, seriously.
What did you spend time doing?
Not doing that.
Good paddock.
In a good paddock. Seriously. You know, we love our footy, but, you know, once September 28 kicks in or whatever date, the grand final, I clock off for about 6 months, you know that. Mentally, physically, the lot.
All right, I've got one more team to get through. GWS, an outstanding side. Look, I don't know, people probably haven't forgotten, but they're a kick away and they're 7 minutes of incredible defensive footy by Collingwood of playing in the grand final, and Collingwood don't win their flag. Like, GWS, I don't think it's outrageous to say, they should have won that prelim. They should have won that prelim. Toby Green had a snap with not long left. He would kick 8 times out of 10, and he didn't score. Scores would have been level.
Fell short, didn't it?
Scores would have been level. So, look, I think this side's right there. They're right where they need to be. Can they, this group, with some aging stars like
Callum Ward and
Phil, Callum Ward, Kelly, like Toby Green isn't getting younger, but he's top five players in the league right now. But they've got that group, that band of players, Jesse Hogan, that are high quality players, but they won't be there forever. So they're right in the window right now.
Absolutely. And what we saw in that final against St Kilda, I think we called the game on radio together, 6PR, we talk about the tsunami, the orange tsunami. They were just the runners able to move the ball back into this year. They were Collingwood, terrific to watch, best team of the year. They were so exciting to watch.
Yep.
And Adam Kingsley, that's the hard part, isn't it? You make a prelim final in your first year as senior coach, and they perform so well leading into a prelim final. Can they renew what they had last year and bring it to the table in 2024? We hope so, because we love the song, we love watching them play, and yeah, they're a good side to view.
Phoenix Gothard, their biggest in. Matt Flynn out the door to West Coast, I think probably biggest out, but they have coverage there. Big Briggsy, or is it Biggsy? He's in the ruck for them. I think Tom Green's in for a massive year.
Yeah, and to be honest, Carl England said to me a couple of years ago, he said, this guy will win a Brownlow. Right. And I've kept an eye on him since. His ability, his bullish bull stature, mate, he is an absolute beast around the footy. Some of the matches we called together, you watched him go about it and you thought, he's unmatchable almost in the midfield in his physical presence.
Just to finish off here, and we're going to move because I think someone's recording in here very shortly. I don't know if people are thinking or considering the fact that what happens in AFL land is the Premier's game style gets copied, right? So Collingwood's style of play, they're running gun off halfback, their contested ball and then, you know, small ball in the forward line, that will get copied. Teams will try to do that. It happens every year. But what also happens is teams watch them that much that they train how to stop them.
Mm.
So that the style of play that GWS plays, that Collingwood plays, that Brisbane plays, that other teams are trying to play, they will have had another preseason of seeing that. And at some stage, this style of play will get stopped. That the run, gun, tsunami stuff, that will get stopped. So I was involved in a team at West Coast. Phil Walsh came whenever he was there, and we developed the press. And it was...
Wasn't the West Coast web?
No, that was later on. Walshy developed the press, and it was, at all costs, press the player with the ball and press people who could get the footy. And it was, leave your man, do whatever you had to do to put pressure on that, and it stopped this style of play. I don't think we've heard too much chat. That will get stopped. Collingwood will get stopped. They won't win the next 10 grand finals playing the way they do.
No, of course. And so you reckon a return perhaps to a little bit of what you were talking about?
It will, 100%. Yeah. The chip mark stuff with the pressing defence, win the footy back. At the moment, everyone wants to go quick. There will be a time where it slows down. Don't know when it's going to happen, but that's my thoughts of the day. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footy Cast. No. I wanted a sting. Thank you very much, Nick. Give me a sting, please. Cut that off. Turn that off. Sting me. Now, Skeeter, a couple of final reminders before we get out the door. Make sure you're following us on Shelter Footycast. You can jump on to shelterbrewing.com.au to get your tickets for the Thursday live show, Skeet.
Yes.
I would like some more listener interaction. We had a great question come in around the Melbourne Demons culture. So thank you very much for that one in. I think we covered that off the top of the show. So if you want to send in some of your questions, you can either hit us up at Shelter Footycast or send an email, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au. Tell your friends. We've got big prizes this year. Skeeter, we're getting close to the end of the show.
Yeah, we are. And you're talking, you got to remind me when you said teams going quickly and teams slowing the game down. We've entered the slowing the game. We are slow. We've pulled it right back. We're slow. Let others go quick. We're just going to take our time and roll through life.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.